is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Hi. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We're actually just over, 10 days away from the draft? Man, it feels like it's always seemed like it's been such a so far away. 10 days from now, Rockets are going to take the number 2 overall pick, and it will be Jalen Green.
So you don't believe in the internal debate that with Jalen Suggs coming up strong, possibly being the pick? That's the newest report.
I believe that that's a real possibility. If there is no internal debate about who they're going to pick, then that's stupid. They can't all be thinking the same exact thing. But you know what? I think that Jalen Green and his scoring ability will win out. Whether or not it's the right thing, I don't know. I wouldn't mind. You know what? If they take Mobley, if they take Green, if they take Suggs, I'll be fine with all of them. You know what? They've done their homework. Chris Wallace knows what he's doing. He's been there, done that with a high pick before. He knows what to look for. He's made good choices. You know, Bull is there to break down games too. And Jalen Green played 15 total games last year.
And it was against a not traditional G League schedule. As much as we were told that if we're going to make determinations between the two, Jalen Green played a stronger schedule than Cade Cunningham did. The Ignite schedule wasn't the same as the G League schedule. You weren't just going through G League teams. Sometimes it was an international squad they're playing against. So it was a small sample size.
Yeah.
I don't think you can look at what you saw in the G League and say, okay, that's great. But I think with only 15, you got to be talking about skill set, projection, not necessarily proof of concept, because there's not much proof of what he will be.
I frankly, if they decide to Mobley, I've seen breakdowns of Mobley's game where he is far and away, people think, the best of the three. You've got how solid Jalen Suggs is, and you know there's the ceiling isn't as high, but the floor isn't as low, and then there's the potential of a Green. You know what? Whatever they decide on, that's great. I think whoever it is probably going to be a pretty good. We've seen number 2 fail though. We've seen it. Okay, and then we've also seen Kevin Durant. We'll see. We'll see what they do. But you can see it at Carbach, and we're big Carbach fans here. They've been a sponsor of the show for a long time. AJ's been talking about Carbach for a while. 5 to 10 p.m. on Thursday, July 29th. Calvin Murphy, Mario Ellie's going to be there. They're going to have DJ Flip Hop. Is that one of your favorites?
Never heard of him.
What are you talking about?
You asked a question. I never heard of him.
He's one of my favorites, DJ Flip Hop. He's awesome. He's unbelievable.
What's your favorite song?
Well, he's gonna spin other people's stuff, Del. I mean, come on.
What's your favorite set list of his?
I don't have a favorite. I love them all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember a time where you're like, man, I'm really down right now, but DJ Flip Hop got me going? Do you remember one of those times?
Oh, I do that all the time. On my way home, I'm like, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's get this, DJ. Flip Hop.
Okay. Flip Hop, is it?
Yeah, it's Flip Hop. I call him DJ F.
I feel like he'd appreciate the full name.
Yeah, but
DJ F.
Well, you don't know him like I know him.
You met him?
No, I didn't say that, but I know him. I know his work.
Ah, okay.
Raffle prizes, autographed items, Rocket Shop gift cards, tickets to an upcoming Rockets home game, and more. All that stuff going to go on. So, Carbach, that's the place to be for the Rockets' big draft party. It's another radio station, but oh well.
Are you going to go?
I am not going to go. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to have my popcorn. Me and you, we could go, sit on the couch, get some popcorn,
and
watch the NBA draft.
Get some popcorn and watch the draft.
Yeah.
Man, you on some loser stuff right now. Man, you better get out of my face with that.
What are you talking about?
Sit on the couch and eat popcorn and watch the draft.
Watch the draft.
Nah. I'm not sitting on the couch doing it. I might. Hey, hey, the draft's on. Let me flip to it. Oh, the Rockets picked that guy. Okay, I'm changing.
Watch it? What are you going to say? You're going to sit on the couch.
Yeah, I got a TV in front of my bed. I'll watch it that way.
I mean,
I'm not going to pop some popcorn to watch the NBA draft. Huh. What kind of loser stuff is that?
Well, I don't know. It seems to me like it's that's not the
a
way to do it.
It's not. Look, the Rockets have a very high pick, thankfully, and then they have some other picks in the first round, so maybe the night gets extended. But outside of the top five guys, whatever. I want to see where Davion Mitchell goes and see how he's valued coming off that tournament and the title. But whatever. The NBA draft is made for Twitter because Woj is going to give you the picks before anyway.
That's the worst thing.
He's going to go.
No, the worst thing about it is that this pick is made and he's been traded to another. Just
know that too.
I mean, that's the worst. I mean, you put on a Kings hat and then all of a sudden you're playing for Portland and you're that day, you know, you got for the rest of your life. Well, yeah, they traded me. I never really played for them. It's so dumb the way they do it.
And Woj would be like, the Rockets are really focused on Evan Mobley here. And that's his way of telling you who they're picking without actually saying the Rockets are picking Evan Mobley.
Right.
So if you're on Twitter, which is how people watch sports now, they have Twitter open, they're watching sports, you're going to know well before Adam Silver makes the announcement. So why would I sit through watching the draft for Fran Fraschilla breaking down some international player I've never heard of?
Well, that's why you got the popcorn.
I'm not. Look, if people are eating popcorn and watching the NBA draft,
that's fun.
I don't want to stay away from me, losers.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to go. But Carbach, you know what? First of all, I'm a Coors Light guy, right?
That's the first thing.
That's the thing. I don't even know that they have Coors Light there. So that's troublesome right there. But I'm going to do a little mini Lent now, Dell. So I'll be lucid over the next couple of weeks.
Why are you doing a mini Lent?
Because I'm just sick of it.
You're trying to feel better?
Yeah. Because my liver's screaming.
So has a doctor said something to you?
No.
Let me ask you something.
But I know my liver's like
you've been going hard. Yeah. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So during Lent, you feel better, right?
Yeah.
You take off for what? Is it 40 days and 40 nights? What's the rule?
6.5 weeks.
Okay, so it's about 46 days or so, whatever it comes out to be, of non-drinking. And you feel great.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you go back? Because when you know you don't feel as good?
I feel much better at night than I do in the morning, than I feel bad in the morning.
But do you feel...
See, there's a ceiling and a floor.
Understand. The ceiling is the roof. I understand.
And there is no ceiling during Lent. There's no ceiling.
There's only so much you... There's only so much... So there's no ceiling during Lent? What does that mean? I'm trying to figure that out.
There's no fun.
Oh, you mean... Oh, there's no fun during Lent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's the fun? There's no fun.
Understood, but you understand that... You're getting to a point where you're now taking mini Lents because body isn't the same as it was anymore.
That's all.
Maybe limit your break. Maybe limit your intake per day so you don't have
to put limits on me.
I'm telling you to put limits on yourself.
All right, don't try to take away my rights.
You're taking away your own rights.
Yeah, no. Trying to take away my rights.
I'm not taking anything away. You can buy as much Coors Light as you like. I'm just trying to figure out a way for you not have to take mini Lents.
Yeah. Well, no, I like a little mini. I go hard and stop.
Or maybe you minimize.
I'm a sprinter.
Maybe you kind of.
Not a marathoner.
You pull back on how.
Sprinter. 200 meter, Dell. Let's go.
I feel like you're tripping over hurdles right now. I feel like you're a guy who falls on his face and doesn't finish the race.
You don't know nothing about that race.
I don't know. You're quitting in the middle of it.
How about you got to join the race if you want to see how to run it?
Granado's making the turn. Oh, no. He tripped and pooed down his leg. No.
That's a marathon.
Well, the way you're going about things.
Mm-mm. Sprint. Let's go all out. Michael
I don't
Johnson.
Know. You pulled a hamstring. Seems like it.
Michael Johnson. Of course, light. All right. It's 10:13 ESPN 97.5. Someone 3780-3776. The number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. And let's get back to a little Deshaun. I guess it's Deshaun news. We'll talk about it on the other side.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Deshaun Watson, apparently, was it Albert Breer, was on with Dan Patrick? And he said that he thinks that Deshaun Watson's going to start on the exempt list. So, starting on the exempt list is actually problematic for the Houston Texans. Ideally, see, his cap number this year is 15.9. His guaranteed money is 10.5. His prorated bonus was 5.4. He's 40 next year, 40 million cap number, 42, 37, 32. So this year, ideally the Houston Texans, he doesn't go on the exempt list and Deshaun doesn't report, because then his contract doesn't, this year's contract, doesn't start. So his contract situation would be the same next offseason as it is this offseason. If the commissioner, now, for whatever reason, Breer thinks he'll be exempt week one, but he will play in 2021. In what scenario does Deshaun Watson play in 2021?
One where all the charges are dropped? Like, and none of the lawsuits bring forth anything?
Well, what's going to have to happen? I mean, we see that Bradley Roby's got one game left on his, right? Okay, so I know now it's going to be 16 games. Commissioner's got to come out with not only his exempt list, but then he's got to come out with his suspension, which could be formidable. We've also got to have the criminal charges either levied or the criminal investigation dropped. We have to have some resolution criminally. Otherwise, if I'm a team, what am I giving up for Deshaun Watson, a guy who's facing whatever criminally?
Yeah, and I misspoke. There are no charges, but the investigation would have to be complete and nothing comes of it. And then the civil cases would all have to be resolved where it shows Deshaun Watson was falsely accused for no suspension to take place.
I think Deshaun, just from the tarnishing of the brand, which Deshaun Watson has done, Deshaun Watson's facing a suspension.
So I do believe if any settlements take place, he'll face a suspension. So despite the fact that a settlement doesn't mean you're accepting blame or you're saying you're guilty of anything, that's going to be the perception. But if it turns out that there is no evidence to back any of these things, and currently right now it just seems like he said, she said. The NFL would still suspend him with nothing backing the claims?
Yes. Yes. We've seen guys get suspended even without charges.
And the PA wouldn't fight this one?
They would. It might be reduced. Was Ben's reduced?
I think he served the full amount. Wasn't it like a six game?
Other guys have had their
sure,
stuff
it's happened
reduced.
Before.
Yes. Other guys have had their stuff reduced. But this is the timeline. So we're nearing training camp now. Deshaun doesn't report. Now you can start fining him, but the commissioner's probably going to step in and say, no, he's on the exempt list. So he'll, training camp money is nothing. It's when the season starts, that's when you start getting paid. But let's say he's on the exempt list when the season starts. The Texans, so he's on the exempt list for indefinitely, but it's usually, the thought is it's not, the exempt list isn't going to be a full year. It's usually short. But then they take him off the exempt list. Does Deshaun come here? Does he report here? Because if he gets traded, he's got to learn a new system with another team. plus all of that stuff that we talked about has to be all the criminal investigation has to be over. The suspension, his possible suspension, has got to be named. And then he's got to go to another team and he's going to learn another offense. And so in what scenario, and oh, by the way, how often do you see a player get traded to another team, especially a starting quarterback? Now, players, yeah, starting quarterbacks to another team and play right away.
Well, didn't we have a guy get picked off the street and play for the Texans right away at quarterback?
Yes, we did, and that worked out.
Didn't he win a game? Didn't he win that game?
Against the Colts. Wasn't it?
Or was it the Bengals?
Was it the? I thought it was. Was it the guy we picked the guy off the street and didn't Whedon have like a week to get
That's
ready?
That's what I thought.
Had a week and he beat the Colts.
Yeah. So it's. I think if Deshaun Watson's traded for, he would start immediately and it'd just be whatever reduced. To clean it up, Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for 6 games and got reduced to 4.
Yeah.
So, like you said, reductions do happen. The only scenario that Albert Breer's proposed thing takes place or comes to fruition is if everything goes perfectly for Deshaun.
Yeah.
Criminal investigation dropped due to lack of evidence. Civil cases get done with, and it turns out actually the women were lying in this scenario. It was proven that they're lying.
Oh, I don't think. No, I don't. Deshaun's not even going to be deposed until January.
I'm just saying somehow, some way, all these women drop. I'm talking about the perfect scenario. These cases don't even get to trial. Oh, whatever.
Well, but that's not going to be decided. There's no way that the civil thing is going to go on. And by the way, Antonio Brown played while he had his civil. I mean, that took a year and a half. This could take a couple of years for Deshaun.
My point is it would have to be a miracle. Like things, like everything. Oh, we found out this is a giant conspiracy for Tony Busby and these women to try to take Deshaun's money.
But my point is, there's no way the civil cases could still be going on and Deshaun could play.
Okay.
Yeah. Deshaun could play with the civil cases. He can't play with criminal charges hanging over his head.
I would be surprised. Antonio Brown had...
Or he won't be traded with criminal charges hanging over his head.
Antonio Brown had, was it one woman who was involved or two? I don't remember exactly.
I think it was one.
I don't think he plays until there's any sort of resolution, Deshaun-wise, because of the number of women.
Well, that won't be for a while. So you don't think he plays? I don't think he plays at all this year anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think he plays this year.
I don't think you can. I don't think the Texans aren't going to want to play him. And any NFL team, the NFL won't want to play him. They wouldn't want him out there. So that's why I don't think that's why I was setting up these miracle scenarios where that's how he gets back on the field. Cause I don't think he gets back on the field.
No. Yeah. I don't know. I think if the criminal charges come and the commissioner's, but here's the thing. The commissioner's office, I don't know that they can give you a suspension until they find out. Well, they give him a 4-game suspension, and then he find out through all these civil cases in his deposition, holy crap, this is worse than we thought. And we only gave him 4 games or 6 games or whatever.
I think he might be on the exempt list all year.
It could well be. And that is not good for the Texans because he's getting paid and his contract is actually ticking. The Texans would love it that he didn't report and his contract goes into next year.
Well, the NFL.
And plus, that's another year for whatever team gets him, and they get him at $10
million. Well, the NFL has 10 days before until it kind of becomes a big deal with their decision. Because training camp, Deshaun wants to, if he's going to be put on the exempt list, he would like that to come within the next 10 days.
Right.
So the fines don't start happening and he doesn't start losing money. And the Texans would be like, you know what? I don't know if the Texans want to answer questions about Deshaun showing up to camp. But strategically, don't you want to force his hand to do something? Whether he hits out so you can start finding him or he shows up? What do you want if you're the Texans? Do you want the NFL to make a decision between now and the start of the
training
camp?
I don't know what I want. If you want another try, I think I'd rather Deshaun not show up. Now, if he does show up, then you're screwed. So he shows up and says...
I got a knee.
We don't see any damage. Well, I got a knee.
Well, according to, I don't know, the last time we saw a video from him, there's no evidence of a knee.
Well, My back, my lower back.
I guess something could show up in the next couple
something
days.
Something can always show up. I don't see anywhere, I've read as much as I can about the exempt list, I don't see where anywhere it says that the contract doesn't start ticking. So if, in fact, he's on the exempt list for the whole season and the Texans pay him, and so that year is just a wasted year, then you hit Deshaun starting to make $40 million a year. And that's a bad thing. Then you hit a cap number at $40 million. And then you only have those four extended years left on the deal as opposed to the 5 years, which makes Deshaun more attractive. And this first year of a 15.9 cap hit as opposed to $40 million, more attractive. 1027 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We still got news of the weird coming your way here. And let's talk a little about it. Let's talk a little bit about our team hosting the Indians tonight. We'll break it down next. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Giolito was on yesterday. Rondon was on today. It's no secret that they have one of the best pitching staffs and starting pitching, you know, in baseball. So, I mean, these things are going to happen. So we just got to put this behind us and then look forward and get on Cleveland.
You know, they still, I mean, by far, they're still the best team against teams with winning records. So they actually dropped a game over the weekend because they won game one and then lost the next two. They're still by far the best team against teams with winning record. It's not great the way that they've been shutting it down. I mean, maybe they need, I don't know, whatever. They came out smoking in game one and then just nothing. Four hits over the weekend. One yesterday. One base runner yesterday. Holy crap, that was terrible. So maybe they get home. They get better against the Indians. The Indians don't have, their starting pitching has been banged up. Their whole team has been banged up. And then the Rangers come. Of course, the Rangers have kicked their ass this year, so that's problematic when the Rangers are in town. And well, you are going to face Gibson too, and he is your daddy. Greinke against Gibson on Sunday, which is not a good thing. Foltynewicz, former Astro, you're going to get him as well. But you got Mejia, McKenzie, and Morgan coming your way over the next 3 days for the Indians. And J.C. Mejia, ERA away, 8.35. Is that good, though? An 8.35 ERA away?
Seems poor.
It does seem poor to me.
And it's going to make you feel even worse than you already do if that guy has a good outing.
He's got a 7.42 ERA total, 8.35 on the road. So yeah, if he kicks your if you get two hits tonight, yeah, you better have like six hits in the first inning. This away early.
It should be 3-0 going to the top of the second.
Maybe at a lead, minimum. Maybe Yordan will lead off tonight. We don't know.
Well, the two hole wasn't great for him over the weekend.
No, it wasn't. What was he? 7 strikeouts.
He was 0-11 with 7 strikeouts.
That doesn't
over the
seem
weekend.
Like a great two hole hitter.
No.
But it does sound like the two-hole, but not the two-hole hitter.
Stink hole.
It's the stinky hole. So, J.C. Mejia, a rookie tonight, made 10 total starts, and he's not good. Not good. So, let's take care of J.C. early.
Let's pick it up.
Yeah. And then Tristan McKenzie. He looks like the kind of guy, Dale, you might look him up. He looks like the kind of guy where his hat might be a little slanted to the... to the side.
He looks like Fernando Rodney?
A little bit, only skinny. Only skinny.
Tristan, huh?
Tristan. Yeah.
6'5", 165? Yeah, pretty skinny.
Pretty, yeah.
If he's still at weight, if he's still his listed weight.
6'5", 165.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty, yeah, skinny would be correct.
Yeah. He's got a 497 on the road, so you should be able to light him up. And then a bunch of guys, big name guys, big toe guys. Eli Morgan. Never heard of him. He's a flipping hair guy. 6'3" on the road. So that's Cleveland. They're really hurting. They've had a lot of injuries, and they don't have their club together. But this is a good time to face them. And you know what? Greinke seems to be okay. We thought he had some shoulder problems, right? He had left the game early, right before the All-Star break. Maybe he just wanted to get started. Well, no, he was actually there for the Yankee celebration. I remember that. He had a funny smile on his face, and he was kind of running around a little bit.
Is this how we celebrate?
This is. Hey, come here.
I think I'm doing it right.
How do we do this?
Yeah.
Why do we make fun of him? Got issues. So back to a 5-man rotation: Garcia, McCullers, Odorizzi, and then Fromber. Fromber, who didn't look good. Fromber, who's starting to get a little bit worrisome. Fromber is 5-2 on the year now, which is still good. But he is, he hasn't been the same Fromber in his last three starts. What did I say? 16 and a third, and he's given up 11 runs. That's not good. That's really not good. So that's not the Fromber we know and love. And especially with giving up the long ball, he doesn't seem to be hitting his locations as well. And so we gotta get him a little bit of sticky. I mean, we gotta get him, his mind back. Maybe his mind needs some sticky, some spider tack.
I mean, if
that helps everybody's mind.
I'm going to say Fromber just needs to put in a call to whoever helped him last year.
Yeah.
Now, they told us he had some work done with, I don't know what the official title was, a team therapist, whatever, sports psychologist, I believe. What if sports psychologist is another word for spider tack? No, yeah, he talked with a sports psychologist. That's why he's so much better.
Yeah. Was the psychologist working in the Angels visitors clubhouse?
I mean, he may have spent some time there. I don't know why.
They have a psychology couch.
So it's an interesting question you're asking.
Yeah. I think maybe that's where he was.
Hopefully.
The guy who got everybody the spider tech.
Hopefully Fromber is just having a downturn, nothing really to point to, and things will be better his next outing. Because we got high hopes for Fromber.
Mm-hmm. Secretly tell the O-line not to block during practice and let Blacklock take Deshaun's knees out. No, Jacob, that's exactly what you don't want.
That hurts trade value.
Yeah. Not only hurts trade value, but his contract... It will count, and you lose that whole year of him. No, we don't want that. We do not. That's not what we want. Why are you sending me pictures of the Sports Illustrated? Do you see there's larger sizes in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition?
That's been a thing for a little bit now, right?
Yeah, but it's I think it's...
Are the sizes larger
than they were before? Larger. But they had the one big girl who's a model. What's her name? What?
I mean...
She says she's Ashley...
Ashley Graham, was it?
Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard was that?
She likes that.
How hard was that?
I didn't know. I forgot her name.
The big girl.
She has a name. She's a big girl.
And you knew it.
And she's... No, I didn't know it.
You had Ashley?
Oh. No, Ashley something. Whatever.
Ashley Graham.
Ashley Graham. Yeah. And she was in Sports Illustrated. Yeah. And now it's, thick as in, though. We're all about that.
We're all about that?
I know you are.
Don't speak for me. Why are you speaking for me?
Because I know you are.
You don't know that about me.
Yeah. You said that.
No.
Oh, okay. You like pancake? No.
I've never said... Thick is in.
No. You like, okay. Pancake. Okay. Look, any pancakes out there?
Just because I've said the only pancakes I like are on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean thick.
Thank you, Dell.
Look, pancakes aren't even that healthy. I like a peach.
You, They're healthier. Yeah, but there's sugar.
It's fruit.
There's sugar.
True, but you're putting syrup on pancakes, and I don't know, some people like whipped cream. I'm not into all that, or chocolate chips. But a peach is healthier than pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I'm with you on that. So do you see that there were four arrests made? Four arrests made. British police have they had a special team looking into the racist comments made via social media targeting England players Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka. Apparently, here's what they said. We are working very closely with social media platforms who are providing data we need to progress inquiries. If we identify that you are behind this crime, we will track you down and you will face serious consequences of your shameful actions. But apparently four have been arrested already. Now, Dell, how many football-related incidents and arrests do you think were made in the 24 hours around the final?
When you include drunken, disorderly.
Everything.
Rioting.
24 hours. How many incidents and arrests?
It's related to the football match between Italy and England.
Yes.
In the country?
Mm-hmm. UK police.
I'm going to go with 4,000?
4,000 in 24 hours?
I've seen how they react.
No, it's actually
like
less than a fourth of that.
I would
think this is an incredible 897 just football related incidents and 264 arrests in 24 hours.
Let me put it to you this way. Let's say instead of one state of Ohio State fans, there was an entire country's worth and their team lost the biggest match an entire country of Ohio State fans. Oh, and Ohio State,
I don't want to live there,
lost the national title in overtime. How do you think?
I don't want to live there. Well, I know that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about here. The culture of for the fans around English football, some might call it toxic, depending on what group you're around. They're all just Ohio State fans, but they're spread across one country instead of one state. So it doesn't surprise me that it's at 800 or so. In the biggest match they've ever been in, that's the biggest match a lot of them have ever seen.
Here's the problem with it. How many were made before the match?
Well,
and they missed the match. The most important thing that they got arrested for their drunken disorderly and missed the match because of their stupidity.
If you don't serve drinks beforehand, none of that happens. If you're serving all the alcohol, I'll say the number's probably like 350. I would say about probably half of them didn't even see the match.
Yeah, probably. You dumbass.
Because they were partying pregame and before and got themselves arrested.
You're too stupid to be a fan. Too stupid.
I think it's you being dumb is not something that removes you from being a fan. You've met a lot of fans. You've traveled this country watching games. How many of them were dumb?
Everyone.
See?
Yep. All right. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Richard Justice is going to join us tomorrow morning on this show. So he'll be here. Alonzo Highsmith on Wednesday. Friday, Bob Slovac is going to be here. So we got a big, busy week right here in the mornings. Lance takes the week off. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
1045 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I didn't see that, was it? He said Meg. Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, Megan Thee Stallion's in the sports.
She's not transgender.
No, she's in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, but the cover model is Lena Bloom, the first openly transgender woman to be on the cover.
I don't know. I just kind of think Sports Illustrated, you're missing your audience a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. I guess that it would be. It's going to be a collector's item, right?
I guess it depends on what you collect. Sure.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things, though. You just got your teeth pulled, right?
Yes.
So apparently, there is a woman who broke into a dentist's office, and she, an Australian woman, she apparently broke into the dentist's office. Oh no, a Nevada woman breaks into the dentist's office and pulls 13 teeth from the patient. Are you sure that the dentist is the one that pulled your teeth, or was it a woman who broke in?
It wasn't a woman. I believe it was the oral surgeon scheduled to perform the procedure was the one who actually did it.
Okay.
Now, he did have a dental assistant who was a woman, but she wasn't using whatever they used to pull teeth. She was like, you're just going to feel some pressure. And she had to like hold my head in place because, you know, I was talking about it on Friday. You think it's like this elegant procedure. It's not elegant. They're just yanking on teeth. So I'm sure this woman can get away with it. Because you don't know any better.
Yeah, well, this patient was unconscious. Apparently, she broke in on two different occasions. On one occasion, she stole $22,861 in cash and checks. And then she broke in again, and she pulled 13 teeth from an unconscious 13. Patient.
13?
Yeah.
You got to be a sadistic individual. All that blood, and you just want to keep going?
Apparently, she also admitted to using anesthetic disposed of by the office.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah.
You mean some form of mind-altering thing was involved?
She was arrested on one count of each of grand larceny, conspiracy to commit burglary, and perform surgery on another without a medical license.
Yeah, but did she look at the chart and were those 13 teeth bad and had to be pulled?
Do you think she broke it down and said, listen?
No, I think she's liked the tools and said, let's go.
What kind of What kind of sadist are you?
How unattended was this individual that she got to pull 13 teeth before anyone could stop her?
And like, yeah, do you just leave unconscious patients lying around?
Like an untrained person, like being a person who just went through this thing. I mean, it's not like this quick. It's not like a 5 second thing. You have to like sometimes crack a tooth depending on the issue. She pulled 13 out and no one stopped her? How long was this person sitting there?
What the hell kind of service is this?
Exactly. You let some random come in here and pull 13 of my teeth and none of you just came in to check on me at any point and see this going down?
Yeah. Well, apparently there's a Tulsa criminal that's not all that bright. She was wanted for murder, Del. And... well, she saw her story on the police Facebook page, and she posted, where's the reward money at? And police were able to track her down and arrest her and put her in jail. And she's not the sharpest tool, though. And her hair looks like, it's kind of weird. Anyway, that's just another case of, you know, you're not all that bright. You shouldn't be committing crimes.
I can't prove it, but I feel like in some instances, your stupidity is the reason why you're committing crimes.
Yeah, probably.
Like a halfway intelligent person on some occasions figure out, you know what? There's no way I'm getting away with it, so I'm not even going to try this. Dumb people don't know they're dumb, so they do dumb stuff.
That's true. That's true. That's why you get caught. That's why you're behind bars. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a new bill into law Thursday barring police from lying to underage kids during interrogations. That's how you get kids to admit stuff.
That's what parents will tell you all the time.
Yes, you lie to them.
Listen,
we know you did it. We've got your buddy is in the next room. He's already told us you did it. If you don't tell him, you don't admit to it.
This all falls on you.
Yeah. This all falls on you because he's already turned you in. Oh, no. He did it too.
So you're not allowed to lie to underage kids?
Yeah. What the hell kind of law is that? That's what we do. We lie to kids all the time about everything.
To get them to do what we want, to get them to stop doing stuff we don't want them to do, we lie to them.
Yeah. Argentina's health ministry has called for, it says it needs 10,000 wooden penises for educational purposes. Dell, do you have any wooden penises that you can, you know, donate to the cause?
I don't have any to donate, no. I don't have a surplus.
Seems like a lot they need.
I don't have a surplus of wooden penises.
What? Wow. A Glasgow police officer called for support, Dell. He felt like he was being pursued by a drone when it was actually a planet.
What?
Yeah. The largest planet in our solar system, apparently, Jupiter. He felt like it was a drone and it was following him around.
This is another dumb person?
Is he too dumb to be a police officer?
Yes. I'm going to answer the affirmative.
Yep. All right, so good news, though. Apparently, in England, federal parliament sexual harassment training for politicians will be 1 hour, and it's optional. I kind of feel like you should probably make it mandatory, okay? An hour. Do you feel like an hour is asking too much for sexual harassment training?
Feels like it's a minimum.
It feels like there should be some. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, John. If you call someone who works for an airline a bitch to their face, what is the proper punishment?
Oh, you should be able to punch her.
No.
Wait, what?
If you call someone who works at an airline, doesn't have to be a flight attendant, it could be the person at the gate, a bitch, what do you think the proper punishment is?
That they don't get to fly on that plane.
At least in American's viewpoint, correct, and you no longer allowed to fly American, period. This woman, I'm looking at the video right now, this woman's at the gate yelling at just an attendant, and she drops, you know. We do this to Lance, and it doesn't get us fined or kicked off a flight.
Bye, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? You can no longer fly on American ever. You should try Spirit.
Will they have her? Well, of course, they've got her license. So this is easier than keeping that guy that threw the baseball.
At a ballpark.
At a player on the field from every single major league ballpark.
I feel like that's going to be a hard task.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough unless this guy's face is... And, oh, by the way, he could wear a disguise. I feel like they probably will... So you calling somebody the B word is going to get you banned for life?
Look, I don't know if that's a ruling from American, but this guy who works there is like, you're no longer allowed to fly on American.
Hmm.
You called me a bitch.
Well, what do you think the penalty should be, Dell? A Queensland tradie has avoided, I don't know what a tradie is, has avoided jail for cutting off the genitalia of two men with their consent after police found a testicle in his freezer.
Oh, he had consent, though. Is that against the law if some guy says you can cut off my stuff?
I'm sorry. He's walking free. I don't care if I can... I must have been wasted. I'm in a bad place. We have to rethink this. I think if I tell you that you can cut off a testy, there should be like at least a 48-hour minimum period for me to say, I'm just kidding.
There should be like they have cooling off periods after games guys have to go
before
out there
they
and
have
talk.
To go out to talk.
This is what you need.
I need a cooling off period.
I would think that should be allowed. And who's to say he actually had, did he have written consent? Do we know that there's proof that he actually had consent?
Well, the guys lived, I guess, and so they said he had consent.
Excuse me, sir. Mm-hmm. We found your roommate's testy in your fridge. Oh, you told me I could. I'm just supposed to believe that?
Yeah. Here, and why are you keeping it in your freezer, by the way?
Doesn't want it to go bad.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just seems like that's something that we have to have there a buffer period.
There should be a cooling off period
where
you get to change your mind.
Apparently, yeah, I'll get this. Are you a large-eyed man?
No.
Large-eyed men and small-eyed women are more promiscuous. Men with long facial features and large eyes and women with slim faces and small eyes are perceived more promiscuous.
Huh. I've never thought about that. A large-eyed dude is more likely to cheat?
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, ladies, when you're looking for your next mate or mate, your next husband or boyfriend, take a look at his eyes. Because when they're large and he tells you he's not cheating on you or he won't, he's lying.
Australia asked heterosexual men and women about their levels of sociosexuality, the willingness to engage in sexual activity outside of a committed relationship, known as casual sex. The participants also had their photos taken and shown to other participants so they could judge, based on looks alone, if they had any interest in sociosexuality. Men who were open to casual sex typically had longer faces, higher foreheads, longer noses, and larger eyes.
Sound like they're describing a rat. So men who look like rats are more promiscuous?
You think Mike Krzyzewski?
Well, no, I'm not going to put that on Coach. But no. I'm just saying, they make it sound like if you look like a rat, you're more likely to be promiscuous. That's all.
I don't know. Yeah, I got little eyes, so I'm good.
Wendy's not worried.
Wendy's not worried.
No.
No, Wendy, you're good. You're good, girl. 1056, ESPN 97.5, Charlie Pulido is next. We will talk to you again. Richard Justice is going to join us tomorrow. We'll talk to you then, everybody.